Okay, Abayisai, we're back on. Okay, Abayisai, this week is Parashas Bo. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Boyel Paro. Ki ani echbarti, it's with a lot of inyanim. This is Parashas, Vivu Parashas. We have the last three makos. Arbe Choshech Makas Bechoyres. Chazal tell us. Now, Makas Bechoyres represents, Chazal tell us, Gilu Shechina. Okay? It was the revelation of the Shechina. The revelation of the Shechina is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'avarti the Eretz Mitzrayim B'layla Hazeh. We emphasize this in the Haggadah very much. V'avarti Ani V'loi Shliach, Ani V'loi Malach, Ani V'loi Sodaf, Ani Hu V'loi Acher. Emphasis that Makas B'choreis took place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'choreidoi U'V'atzmoi revealed himself in Egypt and took the lives of the firstborns. Wow, that's amazing. When was the last time there was in this world Gilui Shechina? I don't believe ever. Was there ever another event in the Torah where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, I will come by Sodom? Does it say that Hashem? It says the Malach. The Malachim came to destroy Sodom. Farish. There were three Malachim. There were three Malachim. One to Mavaser, that soul will have a child. One to have Ram, and one to go and to destroy Sodom.
I thought he came down first to Edom.
What? The Ereh. Let me come down and see what's Tutzach da. Let me see what's going on. But does not say Kadosh Baruch Hu actually did something. He did a Maisa. I don't know. We have to study Chumash very, very well. But over here, there's no question about it. It is extremely significant. It's hard. It's extremely significant that Kadosh Baruch Hu bichvoida uva atzmai. The Avarti, we emphasize this point in the Haggadah. The Avarti be Eretz Mitzrayim Balayla Hazeni V'Loi Malach V'Loi Shliach. There's a very great emphasis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvoido U'V'Atzmoi was revealed himself in Egypt. Where else do we have this? Matan Torah. Matan Torah, Beferish. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. There's no question about it. Koloi Suvrakim Kol Godl V'Loi Yosif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. Fine. Now, so we have a right now. We have established a gezeirah shavah, a linkage. We have two events, two significant events where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to reveal himself. One of the most important things that happened by Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Hagbalah. It's very strange. It's bizarre. It's very difficult to understand what's taking place there. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Hagbel esam v'kidashtai. I want you to establish boundaries. And Moshe, again, Hagbel esam v'kidashtai. Did I forget to tell you, Moshe? Hagbel esam v'kidashtai. Right? Hashem emphasizes again and again to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Hashem, stop repeating yourself. I got the message. Why do you keep on telling me again and again and again to make sure that people know the boundaries? Ad Khan, this is where you're going to go no further. Very, very clear. I'm very sure to tell you. Yeah. Ad Khan, don't go too far. Ad Khan. Obviously, so this, we're not going into the reasons of that, but obviously the mitzvah of Hagbalah is something that is so central to Yados. It's not so really hard to understand, is that we find in history people that are very worked up, who are very, very religious. One of their biggest nisyonis is to know where to stop. Don't become a fundamentalist. Don't become an extremist. When you are serious about serving Hashem, there tends to be a problem of intolerance for anyone that does not follow the rules. Or to what extent, to what degree you're going to go and follow the path of serving Hashem. There has to be boundaries. The critical chelik of the Torah was given in an environment of Hagbalah. And encompasses so many different dimensions. A person has to know his limits. A person has to know, don't go to an extreme. You have to live in this world as well. You have to be practical. Do not manipulate the Torah in a way that is unpleasant. Diracheha darchei noyam v'chol nesivah seha shalom. Torah, there's a mesorah, how to learn the Torah, how to understand the Torah, and the mesorah has gevulois. Everything about the Torah revolves around boundaries. There's boundaries between Adam l'chaveroi, ben ish l'ishtoi, ben kedusha and chol. Everything about Torah involves knowing boundaries in so many different dimensions. When the Torah was given, it was given in an environment of gevulos. And Hashem emphasizes this over and over again to the point, it's shocking, when Moshe Rabbeinu has to say to Hashem, you told that to me already. Why are you telling me again to go down and tell the people, don't go past the boundary? Hashem says, I know I told it to you, but I'm telling you it again. And I want you just to listen to me and go down and repeat again the gevulos. Then comes Har Sinai, the Gilui Shechina comes with Choshech v'Arofel. There was darkness. On Har Sinai came down a thick cloud. Onon v'Arofel. And in that Onon v'Arofel, the cold Mamadaka came the Gilui Shechina HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Yeren Hashem on Har Sinai. I'm just pointing this out. I don't have the deep understanding of why this is so, but you cannot deny the fact that Parshas Boy is a parallel to Har Sinai. It's almost the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting Klal Yisrael ready for Har Sinai. The essence of the Makkah of Arba was to teach the principle of Givulos. Bechol Givul Mitzrayim. The Arba only went in the boundary of Egypt. That was born of the Nisim of the Arba. Arba, they have a tendency to go all over the place. They miraculously stopped on the edge of the boundary. At the Kach, there was a land dispute between Egypt and Kush, Rashi tells us. There was a land dispute. Where does Egypt end? Where does Kush begin? And who settled the dispute? The locust. The locust did not go past the boundary. It showed, it was Megala, where is the true boundary of Mitzrayim? Then comes the Mak of Choshech, of darkness. And after Choshech comes Makas Bechoros, which is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself reveals himself to the world. Vayered Hashem revealed himself to this world. These three ingredients are exactly the same ingredients of Matan Torah. Hagbolah, Hagbel Esa'ar V'ki Dashtoi. Hashem descended in a cloud of darkness, and in the darkness was the Gilui Shechina. In this parasha, we divided the Makas into two groups, 7 and 3. Parshas Ve, there are 7. Parshas Bo, there are 3. What are the 3? Arba. The goal of Arba is to show Paro, and not just to show Paro, every Makkah, Chazal tell us, was a double purpose. It was a punishment for Egypt, and was a lesson, or Chazal even used the words, a refuah, a healing for Klal Yisrael. The punishment was all of their food was destroyed. What was the lesson for Klal Yisrael? It showed Klal Yisrael the principle, it taught them, it made them familiar with the principle of boundaries. That here you have a creature whose nature is to spread. It's not limited to any boundary. It goes from country to country to country. And yet here it was in the news. It was bizarre. It was a miracle that the Arba limited themselves b'diyuk. B'diyuk, b'diyuk, b'chol gevul Mitzrayim. The lesson of Arba for Klal Yisrael was the principle of gevulos. It hit home. There's gevulos in every dimension of your life. Havdalah. They will make Havdalah. Havdalah is a mavel ben kodesh l'chol, ben or l'choshech, ben yisrael l'amim. Gevulos. Every Shabbos, we begin with kiddush and we have Havdalah at the end. They are. It's a very basic principle. Atochon l'odem das. We discuss the principle of gevulos. It's a concept of the mind that is critical in coming to the revelation of Hashem. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu's revelation doesn't always come in light and rainbows and beautiful colors. Kadosh Baruch Hu came down to Har Sinai in darkness. In darkness. Onon, Choshech v'Arofel, all the different expressions of darkness. And in that darkness was the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael. We have to say that Yitzias Mitzrayim was a hachana for Matan Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Hashem, we quoted Moshe. Moshe said, "What's the purpose of all this?" Hashem said, "The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Ta'avdun Elokim Al Hahor Hazeh." So simply, just means Yitzias Mitzrayim. You'll leave Egypt, and after you leave Egypt, then you'll come to Matan Torah. It doesn't work like that. You don't go from being a slave to receiving the Torah. You need to go to boot camp. You need to be trained. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was in the events that are going to happen in Yitzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael will be trained. They will achieve boot camp training to be receptive, to experience Matan Torah the way it was meant to be. When they came to Matan Torah, they were familiar with these concepts. The last three makos of this parsha is the last step of Matan Torah. Okay, the first seven is not for now. How that was a hachon. But this parsha separates the seven makos from the three makos. These three makos was preparing Klal Yisrael for a much greater experience. But it was giving them basic training. It prepared them to appreciate the principle of Givulos. It prepared them to appreciate the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He reveals Himself, He doesn't reveal Himself with splendor and awe and beauty and color. Hashem reveals Himself in a state of darkness. Choshech Onon V'Arof was a pasuk in Parashas Yisrael. That's the way Matan Torah was. There was darkness. There was clouds. There was thick darkness. There was Koilos Uvrakim. Here in Egypt, there was people, they were crying. The Egyptian society was screaming. They were screaming like crazy. Everyone is dying. Some say that even a woman typically had five mamzerim. That's what Rashi says. A shocking Rashi. How does Rashi know? Rashi says, a woman, she has five firstborns. Five firstborns from five men. Each one, it was their first child. Every woman in society had five firstborns. She was mezaneh with so many Ravokim, unmarried men. Shocking, shocking, that's what Rashi says. So there was a lot of screaming, there was a lot of terror. And in that terror, V'yavarti b'eretz Mitzrayim ani v'lo malach. These three makos is the foundation to prepare, to for Klal Yisrael to watch, to familiarize themselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what Klal Yisrael needs to know to be prepared, so that when they come to Matan Torah, we know what Gevulos are about. We know the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself in a state of darkness. We know what darkness is. V'yomesh choshech. We know what it is. We went into their homes to take all of their goods, to take all of their possessions when they were in a matzav of darkness. And we know what it means, the Gilui Shechina. They know these elements. They're familiar. It was like a dress rehearsal in order to prepare themselves. And that's the deeper meaning of Be'atziachas Amin Mitzrayim Tavdu Nes Elokim Alohar Hazeh. If Hashem just wanted to take them to me, just 1 second, just 1 minute, get up. The Kanfei Nesher are here. The Nesher has arrived. The Ese Eschem Al Kanfei Nesharim Ve'ovi Eschem Eloi. Why do we need 10 makos? Why do we need to go this entire process? Just, everyone should come out of their house, and right lying on the ground are the Nesharim. The Nesharim are over here, these nice 787 Boeing planes, first class, only custom made, everyone is business class, and you get on the plane and you go to Har Sinai, you mekabel the Torah. It doesn't work like that. If you get on the plane and go to Har Sinai, mekabel the Torah, you won't even know what happened. You'll miss the whole thing. You won't be able to receive the Torah. You need training. Everything that is happening in the 10 makos and the entire dialogue of Moshe and Paro is all a hachana for Klal Yisrael to be receptive to Matan Torah. It's much harder to appreciate this idea in regard to the first 7 makos, but in this parasha is easy as pie. Because this whole parasha is about three things. It's about Gevulos, it's about Choshech, and it's about Gilui Shechina. What happened in Matan Torah? Exactly those three things. It was Hagbelas Amikidashdai over and over again. It was about the Gili of Hashem took place in the state of thick darkness. Choshech Onon Vadofel. And what happened with this? the Gilui Shechina. So now we understand, we are Tziach HaSamim Mishayim Tavdon, this is the training ground for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's jump ahead quickly to towards the end of the parasha, middle of the parasha of HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim. We all know that this was really meant to be the first mitzvah in the Torah. Why then did the Torah begin with Bereishis? So that's the kasha, the first Rashi in the Torah. Amar Yitzchak, Lo Yitzchak LaHaskil El Satorah Ella MeHaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Shei Mitzvah Rishoyna Shenitzavu Bo Yisrael. A lot of beginnings. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Loilanos was this week, and here we have the first mitzvah. This really is the beginning of the Torah. The Torah should have begun with this mitzvah. So why then Torah begin? Why then the Torah begin with Bereishis? So Rashi's words are, in order to tell the world who created the world. Let's read the words of Rashi. Matan posam Bereishis mishum koyach masav higin liyamo lo seis lachem nachlas goyim. Okay, so I want to say, what's the pshat? Obviously, over here, there's an intermingling between Bereishis and this first mitzvah. What is the connection? The very first Rashi in Bo on the parasha of HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem opens up the Inyan very, very wide. Very wide. What does it say here? It says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, V'el Aharon, B'eretz Mitzrayim Lemar, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim, Rishoyin Hu Lochem L'Chodesh HaShana. So what's the first mitzvah? The first mitzvah is Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Sai, that's not the first mitzvah. That's not the first mitzvah. You missed something much more important than this pasuk. Rashi, the very first Rashi. Why does it say Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon? Since when did Aharon participate in giving over Torah to Klal Yisrael? 99% of the time it was Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. If we were writing the Torah, we would expect it to say Vayomer Hashem el Moshe b'eretz Mitzrayim lemar. But it doesn't say that. It says el Moshe v'el Aharon. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon b'shvil she'aron osa v'torach b'moivsim k'moshe, because Aharon, he troubled himself to demonstrate the moivsim to Haro, to Klal Yisrael, just like Moshe, Cholak Loi Kovod, Hashem gave, bestowed upon Aaron HaKoyen Kovod, honor. Shekeloloi, Kovod Zeh, the mitzvah Rishayna, Shekeloloi, he included Aaron in Moshe Bidibur. You know what the first mitzvah of the Torah is? Lo hoya tzorech haTorah lahaschil ella b'hachodesh hazeh lochem. The parasha hachodesh, which begins with the words Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon. It's to teach you the proper thing to do in this world is to give kovod to a person who has gone through the effort of doing what is right. Aaron HaKohen had no obligation to go and give over the Moivsim, to go and do this, do that. He was Torach. It's the right thing. Let me be a Shutif with Moshe Rabbeinu. Let me go with you. Let me trouble myself. Let me go to the members of Klal Yisrael and speak to them. I'll go with you to Paro and we'll give over the Moivsim. He didn't have to do this. Hashem sent Moshe. Hashem did not send Aaron. Aaron came out and kissed him and greeted him, and Aaron went. Rashi says, even though the Torah does say at some point that Hashem told Aaron should be the one that should put the matter, we know what it says in the Torah, but Rashi is that Aaron, without question, did more than was called of him, that was required of him. There were things that the Torah said he has to do no matter what, but there were things that he did that was not required. It says explicitly, Aaron osa v'torach. He troubled himself. He troubled himself. He did more than what was required. He gave kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He gave honor. The Mavsim were to show, you know, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koylai. Let me show you on my face. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Watch your mouth. Be careful. You're going to get it. You're going to be destroyed. Klal Yisrael is the nation, is the Am HaNifchar. They're the ones that are going to give cover to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we say? What do we say? The ultimate expression, which we don't even say, because we're not allowed to say, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. Kivoid Malchuso is something which happens when Mashiach comes. We now have Hashem's Malchus. There's a Klal Yisrael, but the Kivoid Malchus, that the world should recognize Hashem's honor. There are few and far in between number of people that are willing to be matriach themselves for Hashem's honor. And you know who these people are? Klal Yisrael. And amongst Klal Yisrael, there was an Aaron that was the first to go and he matriach himself for the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go and produce the Mavsim to show power there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore Hashem says, ah, I have to reciprocate. It's derech eretz. Midos toivos, I have to reciprocate. This is the first mitzvah. Lo hoya tzorech lahaschil ha-toyra ela be-ha-ela be-mitzvah rishayna shi ha-chodesh hazeh lochem shi mitzvah rishayna. Okay, what is ha-chodesh hazeh lochem? It's not just the mitzvah ha-chodesh hazeh lochem. It's how the mitzvah begins. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon. Now, when you know this, now we fully comprehend why the Torah shifted to Bereishis. And now we understand why the Torah shifted to Bereishis Bara Elokim. Hashem created the world. Who did He give Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael to? The Canaanim, the seven nations of Canaan. And what do they do with the land? What do they do with the land? They said the world revolves around us. There is no Ribbono Shel Olam. We have our idols, we have our toys, we have our fun. They had no interest in being matriach themselves for the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had no desire to trouble themselves to recognize that there's a boire. That this world didn't come into existence by itself. There's a creator. And the creator, if there's a creator, we should trouble ourselves to serve the creator. Hashem says, if you don't have the decency to recognize the one who has bestowed upon you such bracha, to give kavod to the one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem was matriach himself to bestow blessing upon you. And you don't want to reciprocate and give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give kvoy to His Malchus. So you know what? I'll get rid of you and give the land to a nation who appreciates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu troubled Himself to give them blessing, and who in turn understand that and reciprocate and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know who those people are? Klal Yisrael. The Torah should have begun with Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron. This principle, Hashem is giving kavod, cholak loy kavod, to the individual who was matriach himself to give me kavod. Wow, what an amazing concept! So, if we're going to discuss this concept, you know something? I got to tell you a story before we begin the concept. Let me give you the hakdama. You know what the hakdama to that is? The whole story of my liberations. You come to a shir and you say a principle. You know, it reminds me of a story. So before we go, we learn the halacha. Let me illustrate this concept that we're about to learn with a story. Hashem, the shir was meant to begin with Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is the first pasuk Vayomer Hashem Moshe V'el Aaron, and Hashem began the Torah. Al Moshe. I got to go tell you a story that really brings out the point of Vayomer Hashem El Moshe V'Yal Aaron. That I was Chol HaKovel La'Aaron because he was Matriach to recognize who I am. You know what that story is? It's the story of Eretz Yisrael. I was Matriach myself to give the Canaanim the ultimate blessing. And they were Kofu Toiv. They didn't want to recognize me. So you know what? Let's get rid of them. Let me be Matriach myself to give the Eretz Yisrael to a nation who recognizes the my tircha, what I've done for them, and they reciprocate by giving me kavod, who recognize Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Bo'ed. This is the intermingling of the beginning of the Torah with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The secret to understand the intermingling is to recognize the first mitzvah is not Rosh Chodesh. The first mitzvah is Cholak Loi Kovoid Al Shetriach Atzmai Lasois Hamoifse. You good to me, I'm good to you. You don't want to be good to me, I will be good to you. Case in point, Eretz Yisrael. I gave them good, they don't want to recognize, get lost. I'll give it to the nation that knows how to give Kovoid to a person that does them, works for them, works on their behalf. It's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. Okay, next, go to the next idea. Short idea. This idea is a short idea. It says, Me'er Mitzrayim, they took on their shoulders, Mish'aroysam. What does that mean, Mish'aroysam? The word Mish'aroysam comes from the word She'er, She'or, leftovers. Rashi explains, let's go to the pasuk of the Kabbalah, when they were leaving Mitzrayim, it says, Vayisu perig yud beis pasuk lamed zayin, Vayisu v'nei yishol b'ram says, K'sukoyso k'sheshu v'shelif ragli, ha'gavonu v'amitof. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Where does it say the word mishad o'isam? It's not in this pasuk, I made a mistake. Haira, lamed aleph. Lamed Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayisoham Espit Seiko Term Yachvaz. They took their dough before it turned into chametz. Mish Aroysom Tziruos Besimloysom. The leftovers were tied to their garments. Rashi. What is this funny word? Who ever heard of this word before? Mish Aroysom. Never heard of it before. Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, it comes from the word she'er, she'or, the remnant, and it means shiore matzah. They were mechuyev to eat on yudalit matzah. Okay, the first day of Karm Pesach, on yudalit with matzah, and moror. Al matzahs umirorim yochlu. Shiore matzah umoror. They took out leftovers. They ate, the seder was on lel tesvav. Makas Bechoros, they had the Seder at the same time, right before Makas Bechoros. They had their Seder, the night of Pesach, and then Chatzos Laila was Makas Bechoros. So it's the next morning, and what's in the refrigerator? Well, what's on the counter? Some leftover matzah. You have any leftover matzah after the Seder?
No.
Okay, hopefully you have some leftover matzah, and you have some leftover maror. What else do you have left over? You have any leftover carbon Pesach? Is there any leftover carbon Pesach on the morning after the Seder?
No.
Why not? It's nicer. You're not allowed to have it. So it says now it's Tetzvav in the morning, and Moshe says, Rabbeisai, get on the bus. The buses are here. We're leaving. Get your peklach, get all your suitcases, your packages. Don't forget your tefillin. They get on the bus. You go into the kitchen, what's on the counter? The leftover maror. You gotta make it home, you gotta make a lettuce. No, a lettuce sandwich. You need it for the sushi, maybe, whatever you need it for. And you take your leftover matzah. Bakar Pesach la Rashi, Shiore matzah umoror. Al shichmam, on their shoulders. Now, Rashi, here there is the Iker Sifsei Chachamim. And he asks a very important, what about the Pesach? He says, no, because it's nicer. Avalo Shiyare Pesach. Sharehu Noisar. V'tzach shreifa, it has to be burnt. Why does the Torah need to tell us they took out of Egypt leftovers? That's not a nice thing to say. Leftovers. Not everything that happened has to be said. There are a lot of things that are not said that we know from Midrashim. They left. They didn't say if they took with them their toys, they took with them whatever, their pots and pans. What do you have to say this for? The answer is, it's come to teach you a lesson. What did Klal Yisrael take out of the experience of Mitzrayim? What experience remains with them for the rest of their lives? Yitzias Mitzrayim is a dugma for Golos. It's a dugma for our lives. Yitzias Mitzrayim is a dugma for all of the Dalet Malchus. When we look back in history, what have we taken out of this? What is the lesson? What is the Musar? What's the lesson of the experience? The answer is two things and not a third. There are two things you take out, but there is a third thing that you don't take out. The two things you take out is matzah, and you take out is morah. But you don't take out Pesach. What does that mean? What is matzah? Matzah is the lechem oini. Okay, matzah represents poor man's bread, the difficult times. Matzah chazalta is the lechem oini. It also represents the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the time came to go, you go. Ki garshu mimit shrayim v'lo yochlu lehismamea. It represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'hashkocha pratis has a time and a place for everything. It represents the hashkocha. We didn't have time to stay one more moment. The time to go was correct. And it also represents we suffered. We were poor. We were poor, which has many different meanings of what it means. Poor ain ani ella bedas. Morar represents it was bitter. Vayumores chayeim ba'avoido kasha. What does Pesach represent? It represents that Kodesh Baruch Hu came in the middle of the night and he wiped out our enemies. He obliterated them off the face of the earth. A tzaka gedoyla. There was never such a tzaka in Mitzrayim from the time from forever before. It represents revenge. It represents that Kodesh Baruch Hu destroyed our enemies. The Musar Haskel, this pasuk is telling you that when you leave a tzara, don't focus on revenge. The enemy has to be destroyed. 100%. There's no question there has to be justice, and there will be justice. Hashem, but that's not what they took out of Egypt. What they took out of Egypt is what they gained from Egypt. Vayimoru es chayehem. They had a bitter life. The Chazal tell us that bitterness was the core harbarzel. It refined them. It forced them to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was what to learn from the bitterness. From the matzah, there was a recognition that when the time Hashem only brings upon a person what is meant for him, and when the time comes, it's over. Everything is with a cheshbon. There were 400 years, 210 years, vayihi miketz arboim, 30 years, 430 years, be'etzem hayom hazeh, that's it. The din is over. Now you leave, even though your bread is still in the oven. Your bread is still not ready. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything calculated. When you leave a difficult matzav, the healthy thing to take out of it is the lessons that are of benefit for you, how you can improve yourself in the future. There is no benefit taking out of a bitter experience revenge. To be bloodthirsty people, you know what the highlight of Yitzias Mitzrayim was? Our enemies were obliterated. That's what Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about. That our enemies were tortured and they were obliterated and they suffered. Is that what you take out? That's what life is all about? Bloodthirsty people to take joy in someone else's punishment? That's not what life is all about. That is true. Yitzias Mitzrayim involve Machas B'choros like never, like none other. But it says here in the Pasuk, the Jewish people, they learned something positive from the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They took upon their shoulders Mish Aroisam. They carried a lesson with them for the rest of their lives, for the rest of the existence of Klal Yisrael. They carried leftovers. They took from the experience with them, but it's something they left behind that it's not important to take out of Egypt. And that is that their enemies were obliterated off the face of the earth. It's a very nice thing. It's in the history books, and we commemorate it. But that's not what we put on our shoulders to carry us forward into the future, to the rest of our lives. We say one little piyut, teeny three lines, relative. You can't forget about it. There's no question about it. But it's not what you put on your shoulders. You put on your shoulders the matzah and the maror. You don't put on your shoulders the Pesach, because the Pesach becomes noiser. Pesach is Yavarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh. I'm going to wipe out every firstborn, and you I'm going to pass over. I'm going to go from firstborn to firstborn, kill, precision targeting, and you I'm going to save. The whole essence of the current Pesach means I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill that one, I'm going to kill that one, I'm going to kill that one. And every single year we eat the Karban Pesach, a mitzvah deraisa. But yet, we don't put it on our shoulders. It does not say in the Pasuk that they put on their shoulders the leftovers. It's not something you dwell upon. You focus on the Holocaust. Okay? The Nazis, Yimach Shemam Nizichram. Okay? Is that the ikur? Is that the ikur of the Holocaust? Justice? Justice? To what they have done to us, their wickedness, it's nothing new. Esav Sonei Yaakov, nothing new. Holocaust, what do you study? You study the lessons of the Holocaust. And the lessons are infinite. And every group, every segment, every machan and klal Yisrael has what to learn. Whether you're a satmar chassid, whether you're a lubavitcher, whether you're a litvak, or whether you're irreligious. Not yet religious. There are lessons. There are lessons to learn to go forward. Is the whole Holocaust about thriving over the churban of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram? Listen, justice is justice. They got to get what they got to get. You got a Nazi, you got to get him out of here. You got to get rid of him. But what's your priority? Is your priority justice to rejoice, or is your priority what did we learn from this? Is there some lesson that we've gained from this to use to go forward into the future? And the examples are infinite of what the lessons are of the Holocaust, and all the different dimensions. But one thing remember, the lesson is not to focus on justice for the wicked. There are lessons that it should not happen again. No one's coming to deny that. A system that it should not happen again, but that we should thrive on, we got a Nazi here, we're gonna torture.
I think you're really saying
revenge.
That's
the word. The Pasuk says, they put on their shoulders. To this is mish aroy sum tsirudoy spesimloy sum al shechman. There was shirayim. What the shirayim is, a piece of lettuce, a piece of a half a piece of matzah. What? That's what the Pasuk needs to tell you. Tell you about the piece of lettuce and a broken piece of matzah they took on their shoulders when they went out of Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of mar was last night. It's over. The little sage is gone, done, we're finished. What is it you have to tell this to me for? Anyway, you're going to get mun soon. What's going on over here? Teretz is, it's teaching you, they took on their shoulders forward the lessons. And what are the lessons? There are two things they took, and there's one thing they left behind. Misharoi Sam, Rashi, it means they took the lessons of matzah and maror, which represent life. How to live a difficult life. How to live in times of difficulty, in galus. They survived. Vayimaru, but they survived. Matzah, lechemoini. They learned the lessons of how to live in difficulty. But what did they leave behind? What they left behind is the Agassiv Sechacham, Avolo Shiore Pesach. That they didn't take out with them. Revenge? Leave that checked at the front door. Leave that checked at the front door.
Is there a Holocaust about, wasn't there a the news like this past week. Live longer than normal people because they live life.
They learn how to live with difficulty. They persevere. They learn. It's not just physically learning. It's hashkafa. Okay, I'm going to focus over here on be able to relive religiously in times of very great difficulty. All right, let's jump ahead. Almost out of time. Let's talk about tefillin. Okay, different ideas to talk about. Okay, let's talk about tefillin. The end of the parasha. Okay, end of the parasha, we have the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is interesting. If you pay close attention to Rashi, let me read you one Rashi. It's a sifsei chacham. It's a very profound sifsei chacham. Very, very deep insight he has. It's a very basic question, and he says something which opens up a whole world. It says here in parash of tefillin, in pasuk ches, perik yud gimel, pasuk ches, v'higadata levincha b'yemahu leimor b'avur zeh oso Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. Now Rashi points out that this pasuk is a combination of the she'eino yodea l'shol and the rasha. What do you say to the rasha? What is the response in the Haggadah to the rasha? B'avur zeh oso Hashem li li v'loy loy Ilu hayasham loy hayanigo. If you were there, Russia, you would not come out. You knock out his teeth. If you live with us, you wouldn't have made it out the front door of Egypt. Yet in the Torah, who is it said to? In the Torah, this is said in response to the she'enoi yoidea lishal, the child that doesn't even ask. So you say to him the same exact thing, mamash, the same exact thing. How could it be the same response to the She'eino Yodea Lishol and to the Rasha? So let's read what it says here in Rashi. Rashi says these words, what you respond to the She'eino Yodea Lishol, Remez Teshuva Leben Rasha. Here is a hint to the response we give to the Rasha. Loimar to say to him, Oso Hashem Li, the loy lecha, leave a loy loy, right? Leave a loy loy. She'ilu hayisa sham, lo hayisa, and here Rashi adds in one word, lo hayisa kedai. Ligoel, you would not have been worthy of redemption. Now, let's for the moment not focus on the sifsei chacham. Let's put the sifsei chacham on the side. You have to take the sikha into account. Maybe others don't. Others learn Rashi a little bit differently. I don't know. But the sikha says something very profound. I want to take what he says, but not say it the way he says it, but use it a little bit differently. This really is the response to the Rasha. Let's look at it face value. Okay, well, this is the response to the Rasha. How then can Rashi say something different from what it says in the Haggadah? Who came first? The Haggadah or Rashi? The Haggadah. The Haggadah was composed way before Rashi wrote his Perush and Chumash, correct? Haggadah was written by Eliyahu HaNavi, the tradition is. It goes back to before Rashi. It must go back to the time of the Churmeis HaMikdash, around that time. Rashi came 1,000 years later. I mean, whatever it is. Rashi came at least 800-900 years after the Haggadah was composed. And in the Haggadah, we say to the Rasha, Li v'loy lo, ilu hayisasham, lo hayisasham, lo hayisasham, ilu hayisasham, lo hayanigal. Clear cut. You would not make it out. Rashi, 800 years later, writes, Li v'loy loy, ilu hayisa sham, basically, lo haya kedai ligo. Kedai? Why is Rashi eating in the word kedai? Kedai. You would not have been worthy to be redeemed. The difference between the two is, this is what Issachar explains, is when you say to a child, you would not have been kedai, it means, but you'll still go out. You'll ride on my coattails. You're a good for nothing. You don't deserve anything. And if it was just you, Hashem would say, forget it. Just stay there in Egypt, just disappear. But there are other people who are going out. So you know what? We'll give you a free ride, birthright. We'll give you a free ticket. A free ticket. You don't deserve it. You're not kedai, but you can still go out in the merit of the others, of other people. That's what Rashi says. That's not what the Haggadah says. The Haggadah says you wouldn't go nowhere. So the Siv Sei Chacham explains that's the difference between the She'ena Yodeh Lishol and the Rasha. It's the same expression. To the Rasha, you're such a wicked person, Eina Chinami, you go nowhere. You would not have gone out, period. You would be left behind. To the She'ena Yodeh Lishol, you have no merit, and it's not kedai that you should go out in your own merit. But listen, once the tzaddikim are going out, you can join the bandwagon. I just want to point out is, and then go a little bit further with this, is that being that Rashi, these are all tzimisht. They all come together, and Rashi used the word remes teshuva leben rasha. I'm trying to say a drush. The simple translation is remes. Teshuva is the response to. The response of the parent to the rasha. Is that the only way to translate the words of Rashi? Maybe Rashi means to say it's remes, the opening for teshuva leben rasha. The opening for a rasha to have the opportunity to do teshuva. How do you give a rasha an opening to do teshuva? You don't reject him b'shtei yodayim. You don't say to the rasha, rasha, you're good for nothing, get lost, I never want to see your face forever and ever. If you say that to the rasha, you're right, you will never ever see him. But if you talk to the rasha delicately, and you say to the rasha, you know, you're not with the program, and if you follow down this path, it's not going to be good, you're not going to be from the people for whom it was kedai for there to be a Yitzias Mitzrayim. You'll have to go out in the merit of tzaddikim. You talk in a delicate way to a rasha. He says, you know, but I'm still going to go out? Yeah, you're going to go out. But you know, but the mahalach you're living is a mahalach that's not kedai for you. Okay, you know, let me go out. You know, maybe I'll do teshuva, and one day I'll be from those people who are kedai to go out of Mitzrayim. I believe that there's a lot of depth here. The fact that the Torah is doing something super bizarre by mixing together the pasuk of the She'eino Yodea Lishol with the response of the Rasha, and there is no question about it. There are wicked people who have already reached a point where they're Michutz L'machaneh. There's no question about it. There are Rishayim. Don't even go near. They're gone. They're done. And there are people who need chizuk. There are, you know, Eino Yodea Lishol. But there is a level of a rasha that's nishtahin nishtaher. There's a rasha who's a rasha, but it happened because of circumstance. It happened because he's dying to do tshuva. He just needs the right madrich, the right person to guide him, to pull him out of the mud, to take him from a rasha and to make him a tzaddik. And the remes to help the rasha be a turn into a tzaddik is to study the She'eino Yodeh Lishol. The She'eino Yodeh Lishol, what do you say to him? Right off the bat, you say to him, you're not kedai. You have no zechusim. It's not you. You have no zechusim. You know zechusim? No, you're not kedai. So you go out on our zechus. You go out on the zechus of the tzaddikim. The rasha, stam, real rasha, that's it, you're a goner. But you have to understand there's a remez, and not every Rasha is hopeless. There's a major segment of Rishoyim that if you just speak to them in the right way, they're very close to doing teshuva. Read Rashi homiletically, don't read Rashi, our school translation. remes in this pasuk here is a remes teshuva, for the opportunity of teshuva leben rasha, for the child who is a rasha. How will there ever be an opportunity for the ben rasha to do teshuva? Speak very carefully. Loima, say to him, Oso Hashem li, v'loy lucha, you're a rasha. She'ilu hoyiso sham, lo hoyiso kidai. Don't just knock him out of the box. Speak to him delicately. Lo hoyiso kidai. It doesn't mean you wouldn't go out. You're not kidai, but you'll still go out. When you show him that there's still opportunity to do teshuva, that changes the whole dynamics. That changes everything. When you go and you show that he has a lifeline, he has someone that can wheel him in, then there's a remes that it's shayich teshuva leben rasha. Loimar, know how to talk to the rasha. If you don't know how to talk to the rasha, then you know what's going to happen? The day will come when Enoch Inami, you'll come to the Haseder, Hakei Ashinov, and you'll say to him, Leva loy loy, ilu ha yisham, lo ha yinigal, get lost. It's too little, too late, you're done. But if you catch it just a little bit earlier, there's a remez where there's still teshuva. There's hope for teshuva, leben rasha. Say to him, leave eloi lucha, ilu hayis hasham. But it's one word of a difference, kedai. That opens up that lifeline. He may still come to do teshuva. All right, have a wonderful Shabbos.